listening to the John Barrett Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear great ideas, insight, and inspiration to level up your leadership ability.
Hey, everybody, it is John Barrett on the John Barrett Leadership Podcast. I am so excited that you are listening again, or if it's your first time, welcome out. We want to level you up so you don't level out in your impact and your influence and everything that you do as a leader. Today, I want to talk to you about the Strength Zone Circle. This is going to be powerful for you today. Now, here's what I know about you. Without even meeting you, without even knowing you, I can promise you something, and I'm going to tell you right now. Here it is. You're doing too much. That's right. You've got too much on your plate. You're trying to juggle too many things. You've got too many responsibilities. There's too much that you are doing. And I'm telling you that without even knowing you. I can promise you that because in 25 years of coaching leaders, I would say 9 out of 10, and I'm not exaggerating there, 9 out of 10 leaders that I meet with, they are doing too much, especially when I meet with them at first and I get to know them and connect with them. I'm telling you, they are doing too much. So I can assume that you listening, you have got a lot on your plate. You've got a lot of responsibility. You've got a lot of authority. You've got a lot of expectation. There is a lot riding on you being your best, and I want to help you today because I want you to understand that when you are doing too much, when you are not operating in your strengths, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit, you are going to limit your influence and your impact. I promise you that. You're not going to level it up. You're actually going to limit it. And the more that you add to your plate without subtracting, so the more addition without subtraction from your responsibilities, the more you are going to limit your ultimate impact and your influence, which is going to limit your ability to be valuable and really, really make a difference. So I want to unpack this today and talk to you about something that I've come up with, a framework called the Strength Zone Circle, which I'm going to unpack. Now, we've all heard about that, you know, we've got to have strengths and we've got to play into those and Strengths Finder and all those things that Gallup and so many resources have put out there. But I want to drill this down because I don't think we really get to the meat of it many times. And so I'm going to take that and I'm going to drill it down to do something that's really, really helpful because I want you to be operating in your strengths. Too many times we are not operating in our strength zone circle and drilling down into the third level of our circle, which we'll talk about later. We're not there. And as a result, this is why we're struggling. This is why we're not making the impact that we want. So I want to help you with understanding your strength zone circle. Now, before we do this, I've got to share this story. I love table tennis. I play table tennis, and it's been kind of years since I've really done it competitively, but I played competitively. I was rated in the USATT, the USA Table Tennis Association in America, and I had a rating. I wasn't, you know, amazing in that, but I was good. I could play locally in clubs, and I had a rating in that. And so if you know anything about table tennis, I was right around the 900 to 1,000 rating. And that's pretty good. If you don't know anything about that, Olympic players are anywhere around the 1,500 to 1,600 rating, kind of right in there, maybe even a little bit above that now. So I was, you know, definitely under there. I wasn't as good as like a state champion. I actually played the Kentucky state champion in a match. This was crazy. Living in Indiana, I played the Kentucky state champion. This was like 18 years ago. And I was pretty good, but he was really good. He was probably rated around the 12, 13, maybe even 1,400 range, just about right in that level. And I played him. I was only around the 900, you know, level, maybe pushing 1,000. So we played, and I'm telling you, in the three games that we played, best 2 out of 3. Well, first of all, I did not win a game. Okay, so I can humbly tell you that. But I can also humbly tell you something a little more. I scored about 3 points the entire series, all three matches. And if I'm real humble, I will let you know the real truth is the only reason that I even scored those points is because he had messed up. I did not earn them. I just got them because he messed up. Now, he was incredible. I'm telling you, and here's why. He played to his strength. I mean, when he would serve, I could not return his serves. His serves were unbelievable. He was known for being, at the time, for being this incredible server. He just put this wicked spin on the ball, and he'd trick you out every time. And I'm telling you, I was not good enough, that is for sure, to keep up with him. But he played to his strength. And I remember years ago, I heard this from the Olympic Games. The Chinese team won, and this was the quote from their coach. And I remember reading this, and I remember thinking about the Kentucky state champion that I played, and I remember kind of putting these two together, and I thought, this makes total sense now. So at the Olympic Games, one of the coaches of the Chinese team, they asked them about their strategy. And so this is what the coach said. When they asked him, they said, "Tell me about your team's daily training regimen." And here's how he replied. He said, "We practice 8 hours a day perfecting our strengths. Here's our philosophy. If you develop your strengths to the maximum, the strength becomes so great it overwhelms the weaknesses. Our winning players, you see, plays only his forehand. Or our winning player, you see, only plays his forehand. Even though he cannot play his backhand, his competition knows he can't play his backhand. So his forehand is so invincible that it cannot be beaten." And I remember reading that and thinking, wow, that's powerful, that they only played to their strengths. And even though they could play the backhand, but the backhand was a weakness, they knew that. And even though the competition knew that he couldn't play the backhand, his forehand was so good that he controlled the game in order to not be beaten. And I think that's what playing into your strengths is. It's trying to figure out not what your weaknesses are and spend all your time there, but lean into your strengths and only play into your strengths. Coach Vince Lombardi, years ago, the Green Bay Packers, he got in a moment with one of the seasons where he said, "From now on, we're only going to watch the games that we win." You know, it was kind of a routine that you would go back and watch the games, especially the ones that you lost. You would study, why did we lose? What do we need to get better in? How do we need to improve things? But Lombardi kind of took this different approach at one point, and he said, "We're only going to watch the games that we win," because they wanted to study their strengths. Why did they win? What made them so great? Because if they could study that, and if they could lean into that, then they could double down on their strengths, and now they would be so incredible at their strengths that they wouldn't spend all this time trying to improve all of their weaknesses, but they would double down on those strengths. And I think so many times as leaders, we're focusing on our weakness, and we're even looking at those around us, those that we lead, and we're focusing on their weaknesses, and we're trying to get them to improve. We're trying to get ourselves to improve in our weaknesses, and we're trying to get others to improve in their weaknesses. And so what happens is when you put all the focus on someone's weakness, trying to improve it, whether it's yourself or someone you're leading, what happens is you are delaying the growth of your strength. Instead of your strength getting better and better and better to be the best, to be at expert level that's untouchable, you're spending all your time, energy on putting it into your weakness. Now, let me kind of give you an idea on this. I call it the strength scale, and there's many variations of this and kind of thoughts, but I'll just call it the strength scale. And here's what I found over the years, is that most people are always trying to improve their weakness. So on a scale of 1 to 10 on this strength scale, let's just say that there's an area that you are a 4 in. Okay, you're not very good at it. It's a weakness. You know it. Others know it. But what happens is we spend all of our time trying to get that 4 up as high as it can be so that we can be a well-rounded leader. We can improve the things that we're not very good at. But the problem with the strength scale is this. If you put effort into improving that weakness, you might move it up 1, maybe 1.5, and that's at best. Now, I'll be very gracious and say, let's just say you devoted all of your time and energy. You did nothing but try to improve that weakness. That's it. You just honed in on and forgot about the rest. You might be able to get it to, I'll even give you 2.5 points up the scale. But that's it if you spent all of your time doing it and then trying to maintain it. All it does is get you from a 4 to maybe a 5, maybe a 6 if you are putting all your time into it. A 6 is not great. Nobody pays for a 6 out of 10. Nobody has influence with a 6 out of 10 in an area. You're just kind of maybe average, maybe a slight above average, but you're not great. You're not amazing. It's not a strength at all. Now, here's what could happen. Let's say that you've got a strength, a natural strength in an area that's a 6, maybe even a 7, that you're pretty good at. You're wired that way. It's something that just comes naturally to you, your personality, your psychometrics, all those things that kind of lean into how we're wired and how we're made. You look at that, you say, I've got a 6 or a 7 right here. Guess what happens if you put time and energy into that? You're going to move it up a few notches. You're going to get that 7 to maybe an 8, maybe even a 9. And if you continue to work on it, I would even probably argue, since it's a strength, it'll even work its way up to almost a 10 level. Now, anything above the 8 level is amazing. That's when you are in the zone. That's when you are rocking and rolling. You get noticed. People notice it. They look and say, wow, why are you so good at that? It's so natural to you. because it is a strength to you. So why would you devote all of your time in your weaknesses and all of your time trying to shore up your team's weaknesses and getting them just barely to average when you could be exploiting their strengths and getting them to be expert level that they're incredible at? That is the power of operating in your strengths. That's why it's so important. Now, listen, it took me a long time to get this. As a young leader, I tried to do everything. I mean, I'm telling you, I thought to be a great leader, you had to be great at everything. And so I was just trying to do everything, even things I wasn't good at, but I knew I had to do it. I had to be done. I had to figure out how to make it happen. And here's what would happen. I started to wing it in my areas of strengths. So the areas that I was really good at, I really wouldn't give a lot of attention to because I know I can make that happen last minute. I know I could walk in and speak and do that into a crowd. So I was spending all my time on all this administrative stuff and trying to get organized and trying to spend all my time on my weaknesses over here. And so I was winging it in my areas of strengths. And you know what happened? I didn't get very good anyway in my weaknesses. They barely improved very much. And I wasted a lot of time improving my ability to communicate because that was a strength of mine. Listen, you've got to understand that every moment that you are spending and saying time on your weaknesses and saying yes to your weakness, you're saying no to your strength. You are not devoting that time. And I had to learn this as a young leader. All my time was devoted to things outside my strength zone. And then last minute, I would kick in the gear on my strength zones all my time was devoted on my weak zones. And then at last minute, I would devote it or I would just kind of wing it in my area of strength. You get the point. So I want you to understand this is vital. Because so many leaders that I've met with over the years, they are struggling doing too much on their plate, and they're not operating in their strength zone, and they wonder why they're not getting noticed by those above them. They wonder why they're not getting more opportunity to have authority and be in leadership in that, and it's because they're trying to juggle 10,000 things, and they're not doing all of them that great. They're doing a few things really good, but all the things they're not, they're spending all their time trying to do it. And as you lead your team, I promise you, your team is probably spending way too much time on their weaknesses. Now, you've got to understand this, that according to a recent Gallup report years ago, this is what they said about employee engagement. 50.8%, that's half of their people, felt as though they were not being utilized to their fullest potential. That's incredible. Half of the people on your team, in your organization, in your department, whatever it may be, you can just assume statistically that half of them, if not more probably, because that number has probably gone up, they don't feel as though they're being utilized to their fullest potential. What are they saying? I'm not being utilized in my strengths. I'm spending a whole lot of time doing other things and I'm not really being tapped into. Listen, you've got to change that for yourself if you're going to make maximum impact, if you are going to be valuable, and if you are going to do something that absolutely changes the world, you've got to get in your strength zone. And if you want your team to be the best, you got to get them in their strength zone. So let me give you this framework of the strength zone circle is what I've kind of come up with. And if you, I'll try to visually paint it for you. If I could kind of show you, it'd be much better. But I'll just think of a circle. Just draw a big circle in your mind. And at the outside of that ring on that big circle, this is what I would call your good zone. This is the things that you're good at. And there's a lot in that. There are things that you're good at. You're not weak in them. But you're not amazing at them. You're good at it. You can do it. People probably notice it. In fact, you probably get asked a lot, can you take care of this? You just seem to know how to do this. But it's not really in that deep core of your strength zone, which we'll get to. It's just in your good zone within that strength zone. So you got to understand that you've got to narrow that down, because if you're not careful, you'll get caught in the good and you'll never move to the next zone, which is your great zone. And that great zone is a little bit smaller. So draw a circle within that circle you just did. Now, this is your great zone. This is a little bit smaller. There's not as many things that you're great at. There's a lot of things you're good at, but then we're kind of honing in on what you're great at. These are the things that you really become known for, that you're kind of a go-to person on. You're really a cut above the rest. You're probably operating at that point in like a 6, 7, maybe even a 7.5 to some degree, like maybe even getting up to an 8 in that great zone. But that's still is not where you want to spend all your time, because there's another circle inside this big circle, the strength zone circle. And this is a very small circle right inside that great zone. So we've got the good zone on the outside. We've got the great that kind of is a little bit smaller. And then right there, bullseye in the center, is your genius zone. this is where you are an 8, 9, 10, and maybe even off the chart. This is something that you are wired in. You're great. Not great. You're genius in. Genius level. And I know that sounds grandiose, like, oh my gosh, genius. I'm not sure I consider myself a genius in this. Well, don't get hung up on the terminology, but the reality is, relatively to you, it is your genius zone. It is where you add the most value, you make the most impact. It is what sets you apart from everybody else in this world, because you, only you, have this genius zone that you're able to do in that unique way. And here's the problem. In the genius zone, there's only about one to maybe three things that you do. There is not five. There is not eight. There is not 10. Your good zone may have 15 things. Your great zone's only got maybe about 8 to 10. Your genius zone only has one to three things that you add the most value in. And you have to drill this down in your strength zone. It's not enough just to say, I'm pretty strong in this area. You got to know what your genius level zone is. Now, this is something that is historically is pretty cool. They call it the master's wheel or the training circle. So in the movie Zorro, if you remember that with Antonio Banderas and Anthony Hopkins, it was a great movie, The Mask of Zorro. And if you remember that, the old Zorro, Anthony Hopkins, is training Antonio Banderas, the new Zorro. And he's kind of a disheveled mess in that. And when he's training him, he puts them in this ring and he gets them down to this tiny little circle amongst this big circle. There's one right in the center. It's very, very small. And he says, only what you exist in this circle, and hardly anything exists outside of it. Not revenge, not your enemies, not that. You just need to control what's in there first. And he would teach him how to fight in this small circle. Well, this is actually what they would teach in fencing. Sword fighting, it's called the master's wheel, the training circle, where they would get people to train inside this tiny little small circle, because if you can make quick moves, very subtle moves, very tight moves, then if you could learn to do that, then you would be on your way to mastery level. Anyone can kind of run around a ring or whatever it is. You know, if you're boxing, you got a big ring, you can kind of run around and just kind of, you know, waste a lot of time in if you're not careful. But when you get right in there at close quarters, that's when it really gets tough. And so this idea was to train people inside this very small circle. And I think that's exactly what the genius zone level is in your strength zone. It's drilling down your strengths so that you find those one, two, three things that you want to be known for, that you are absolutely going to kind of ride into the future, because this is where you need to spend your life right there. The problem is that most people are spending most of their time in the good and in the great zone. And we won't even talk about the weak zone. That's something totally out of the circle. But so many people are caught up in that. Like I said earlier, they're spending all their time trying to improve their weaknesses. They're not even improving their strengths. They don't even know what their genius level is. So I want you to think about this, because what's at stake is you really having some self-reflection to identify the strength zone area, that genius level. And remember, as you're leading others on your team, whether it's one person or you got 75 people that you're leading on your team, you got to understand that they've got to find their strength zone circle as well and operate in that. When everybody is operating in their genius level, oh my goodness, look out for that organization. They are going to change the world. When everyone is operating, imagine if you were able to come to work and everybody was operating in their genius level, where they add the most value, where they are just lit up. Listen, not only will productivity skyrocket, not only will you begin to make a significant impact in whatever your organization's mission is to do, can I tell you something? You talk about fulfilled people. You talk about people that come to work every day feeling great about what they do. Why? Because they're in their genius zone. You can't help but love what you do when you're operating in your genius zone. I'm not saying that you don't get tired sometimes. We all need rest. We all need recovery. But you want to know how to have an engaged team with retention in your team. And do you know how to keep people from burnout? Put them in their genius zone. You don't burn out in your genius zone, because you are excited, you are fired up, that's what you are wired for, that's what you're created to do. Where we get burned out is when we're in our great, our good zone, and our weak zone over time. Now, if you're in your weak zone, you're going to burn out real fast, because you're just going to, it's like hitting your head against a brick wall every day that you come to work, and you're going to give up real quick. If you go to the good zone in your strength zone, you'll last a little bit longer, but it'll be a matter of time before you just can't keep up, you'll burn out. You might even go in your great zone. So you've got a little more sustainability, but I'm telling you, you'll come to a point where you hit a wall where you can't keep up with all those things. But when you're in your genius level, you absolutely blow the lid off of burnout. You blow the lid off of lack of fulfillment, lack of engagement. I mean, you are literally being tapped into to your fullest potential. So I want you to understand that what's at stake is literally not just the impact that you can make, but your well-being as a leader, your team's well-being, their longevity, sustainability, scalability to endure all the challenges that come our way inside of organizations and lives and teams and life and everything. If we're going to sustain all that, we better be operating in our genius zone. So you have to understand what's at stake is huge. Do you know your genius zone? Here, let me give you a tip. Here's a tip that I want you to run with. So, John, how do I do this, okay? How do I live in my genius zone? Well, the first thing I want you to think about is this. You need to strive for this in what you do. Here's what it is. Ready? Here's a statement for you. Only do what only you can do. Let me say it again for those in the back of the room. Only do what only you can do. Your time should be filled with only doing what only you can do. Nobody else can do it, or at least nobody else can do it at a genius level like you. I'm not talking about, you know, not letting go of things and not delegating. Delegate your great zone, even your good zone, but your genius zone where you are incredible, that's what you need to be spending your time doing. That's where you've got to spend your time. Only do what only you can do. Now, you have to then, that forces you to identify, well, what is it that only I can do? If I were to sit down with you right now and say, tell me the one, two, or three things that are in your genius zone, would you be able to give me an answer right off the bat? Would you be able to easily because you've identified, or would you have to think about it? Would you have to go, oh, gosh, now that you're even asking me, I'm kind of thinking. Maybe you're driving in a car. Maybe you're on a treadmill. Maybe you're in the office listening to this, and maybe you're thinking about it right now. Well, I can tell you right now you haven't identified it. You should know exactly what they are. Now, I'm going to give you mine, okay? I'm going to give you my genius level zones. And listen, I just, before I do this, and it's going to sound so simple, it's almost going to sound elementary, but listen, this took me years to identify. I mean, I had to go on a journey of really kind of figuring out, how do I word this? What is it? Am I right? Is this actually my genius zone? So this is tested and true and tried and true and all of this, and it's going to sound so simple, but I want you to have some sort of an answer like this. Now, it's not going to be mine, of course, because I'm me and you're you, and you know, we have different things. But here's how I do it in my mind, at least, just to give you a little example so you have a little model of this. If you were to sit down with me and say, John, what is it that only you can do that you should be doing, spending every moment of your life, at least in your work life, what is it that you should be doing? And I call it my three C's. Three C's. If I'm not doing these three things, I am wasting my time and I'm not at full impact. I am not. The first one is communicating. That is a genius level. Now, am I literally a genius at it? No. I mean, I got a lot of room to grow. I'm always trying to get better at it. But it's, for me, relatively, it is my genius zone. It is a strength of mine to communicate. I feel most comfortable talking and connecting with people and being on a stage and communicating ideas and helping leaders and that. That I come alive right there. I am passionate about it. And I hope I'm at some sort of a genius level with it. I hope that it adds value. I think it does. I make a pretty darn good living doing it. So I think it's resonating. So that is my genius level, is one, communicating. Now, I do that through speaking and through writing and creating resources. That's the mediums that I use. I use to speak, just like I am right here, or on a stage, or going and working with teams and organizations. I go in and do trainings and all of that. And then I create resources. I write and I create content. That's one of them. The second thing is coaching. That is another genius level of mine. I love to coach. I'm wired that way. I can just connect with people and see what's going on and try to help offer advice, insight, perspective, kind of ask them probing questions, getting them to think differently about different areas, different perspectives. And so coaching is a strength of mine. It's something that is in my genius level. The third thing is creating. I'm a very innovative, creative person by nature, kind of the musician, the artist in me that I do, and that I have a very creative side. And so I love to create. You do not want me to go manage something that already exists and say, John, just keep the ship afloat and that's all you got to do for the rest of your life. I would go insane. I've got to be coming up with new things, new ideas and new efficiencies. And what are we going to do over here and all that? I'm not really good at finishing things. But boy, if you need something to get started, you need something to get fired up and get going and have great ideas, I'm your guy. So creating is a big part of me. Now, these three C's, communicating, coaching, creating. If I'm not operating in that during my day, then I am not operating in my genius level and I'm wasting time. And to be honest, I'm wasting valuable time that I could be making a bigger difference. Now, that is mine, okay? That is mine, and that's how I've kind of defined it. You might define it differently, but I need to be able to sit down with you and say, what is in your genius level zone? And you need to be able to tell me one, two, or three things that they are. Remember, you don't have five or six. If you got five or six on your list, you're lying to yourself, and I'm here to humble you. You're not that great at all those things. You are not genius level in those many that many things. It's going to be one, two, or three things. So I want you to do this. Here's an exercise for you. I want you to sit down and identify what your strength zone is, what your genius level is, and I want you to give it a word. I don't want you to give me some long paragraph kind of, well, I'm kind of good at it seeing what needs to happen and kind of navigating through different challenges that we have and kind of seeing the bigger picture at times and being able to have perspective. No, just put it into a word. Is it strategy? Is it vision? Is it problem solving? Is it navigating? Whatever it may be. I mean, drill it down to some meaningful word to you. Just one word, maybe two or something, that. But just get it simple, not this long answer. Just like for me, again, doesn't have to be exactly like this, but for me, it's communicating, coaching, and creating. If I look at my calendar and I'm not doing one of those three things, I have to ask myself, why am I doing it? Why am I using that time when I could be doing one of those three things that's going to make a much bigger impact? So only do what only you can do. You got to first sit down and identify that. I want to give you some homework. I want you to spend some time thinking about what is it that only I can do? And that doesn't mean that somebody else can't do it at all, but they're not going to be able to do it at that genius level because that is where you add the value, the most value. So you've got to ask yourself that question. So I want you to identify. I want you to define what that is for you. And I want you to have some self-reflection over that because your calendar should be filled with whatever's in your genius zone. And if I were to take one step further with you, not after I would talk to you about what those are and you identified them, then I would look at your calendar and your daily duties and your to-dos and all those, and I would say, are you doing one of those things in there? And can only you do that? Who else could do that? See, a great leader will always ask the question whenever something comes on their plate, who could do this? They don't just say, yes, I'll do it. They say, who could do this for me? Now, sometimes after you've run through the filter, you may not find anyone but you that's able to do it. But if someone can do it about 80% as good or so as you can, then you begin to kind of release them and let them go. Is that their genius level where they need to develop that and get better so that you can devote your time to where you add the most value? I said it earlier in this podcast. I promise you that you're doing too much. I'm just telling you right now. You got too much on your plate. You're trying to juggle too many things. And here's the pushback. But John, who else is going to do it? I mean, this is my responsibility. It's what I was tasked to do. There's nobody around to do it. Look, I get it. I'm not saying it's easy to do this, but you've got to get fanatical because if you don't protect that genius level, one, if you don't know it, how are you ever going to know that you're doing it or to make time for it? But two, if you're not in that genius level and protecting it, everything will call you back to the good, maybe the great. It'll even call you into your weak zone. And now I'm telling you, you are wasting precious impact and precious time. So I want you to think about this. Now, I also want you to think about this for your team. This is not just for you, but as a leader, you are responsible for others. So what is it that you can do to help them to identify their genius level? Maybe they listen to this podcast. Maybe as a team, you go through this. There's self-reflection questions you can use in the leader guide. You can go to johnbarrettleadership.com and get it and go through this together as a team and start having those conversations. What is our genius level zones so that we can get fanatical? Because if everybody is operating at that genius level, I'm telling you, this is where the magic happens. So I want to challenge you. Find your genius level. Strength zone circle. I hope this was helpful to you guys. Listen, you're awesome. Go to my website. Go get all the resources. Join me on social media. Every platform out there at John Barrett Leadership. Go search me, find me. There's all kinds of content every day to help you level up. You guys are awesome. Play to your strengths, win games, be in your strength zone, my friend.
Thanks for listening to the John Barrett Leadership Podcast. To get more of John's resources, visit www.johnbarrettleadership.com.